Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show! Mike Straka.
That is me.
What's happening, brother?
What's happening to you?
Hey, man, this is the Joe Howard Show. That's what's happening this year, dude. I've been doing podcasts. I'm loving this shit. And for all you out there, thousands of listeners, man, I just want to introduce Mike Straka. This guy is like a celebrity interviewer. He's a MMA guy. He's a UFC guy. He's a fucking actor. He's a writer. He's got a book out. I guarantee I'm not even doing half the shit he's been up to in the last year. Mike, what have you been up to in the last year?
Well, besides banging your mom.
Oh my God, dude. My mom. Jesus. Hey, dude, real quick. I just want to let everybody know, because this is kind of a cool, fun fact that I'm going to start the show out like this. So anyway, my mom's in Long Beach, and I'm driving through the old neighborhood, and I stop. And I'm like, hey, let me just take a picture of my old house. I'm going to send it to my mom, and she's going to love it. So I pull over. I get out of the car. I got my phone, and I'm aiming towards my old house. And fucking dude comes out in a tap-out shirt. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I used to live here. I'm just taking pictures. And you were jacked, bro. You're fucking intimidating me.
First of all, you don't even remember the story correctly. You were in a motorcycle with your helmet on with your tinted visor on it. And here's some dude on a fucking motorcycle with his motorcycle jacket, with a tinted visor and his helmet, still on, taking a picture of my house. No wonder why I was so curious who the fuck you were. And you're right, I was jacked because I was going to fuck you up.
And you're protecting the girls. You're in there like, who the fuck is taking a picture of my fucking house?
If you were actually in a car and I could see your face, like with your double chin, I wouldn't have cared.
Dude, it's not even a double chin at that time. That shit was chiseled, man. You fucking know it. Well, here's the deal, man. First of all, like, I love that house. We're going to go on about it for a minute. First of all, the house is haunted. I told you that the house has a lot of bad things going on. Like, everybody who's ever bought that place has been divorced and have been taunted by a ghost. And was I correct?
Yes, you were.
All right. Well, anyway, listen. Thing is, man, we miss you in the neighborhood, dude. And what are you even up to, dude, real quick? I said, dude.
Well, you know, I'm working for I'm hosting my show called MMA Noise, which is on Louder Noise TV. I just interviewed Henzo Gracie, which is the legendary Henzo Gracie, who happens to be a very good friend of mine.
Nice.
And he's my instructor, my Muay Thai instructor, my jiu-jitsu instructor. I train at his academy in New York City. Yeah. You know, I'm doing my thing. I'm a squirrel trying to get a nut.
Dude, I have a
Joe
friend.
Howard.
I got a friend named Brian Forget, and he trains at the Gracies, and he's up in Boston, and he's an animal. He loves the Mike Straka. Dude, people love you, man. I loved it when you're at ringside, and I need to see Mike Straka and fucking Joe Rogan doing ringside. That shit would not only be comedy, but you guys know MMA better than anybody and UFC. That'd be nice.
You know, Joe's a friend and somebody that I respect a lot. But I will tell you that as much as I would love Mike Goldberg's job, as a fan of the UFC, I can't imagine the UFC without Mike Goldberg's voice. And it is all over, And
that's true.
Even though I just can't. So, it's Joe and Goldie. That's it. And, even John Anik, who does a great job, he wouldn't be with Goldie. John Anik would be with, Brian Stann or Kenny Florian. That's the way it is. And I think Anik and Florian, and especially Brian Stann, those guys are amazing at what they do.
Nice, dude. I mean, I think if you do If you do like even the after fight interviews, dude, that you're in people's faces with interviews. Like you're like me. Like there's you don't give a fuck what you say at all ever to anybody. So you're the perfect interviewer. it's like when they used to send Stuttering John out to just get punched in the face and shit. But it's not like, but you're not Stuttering John. Like you could kick somebody's fucking ass. So like it's just funny when you're in a suit and you're breaking out of a suit and you're like in someone's face. Like, so why didn't you keep that left hand up? I mean, it was wide open all night. What happened there?
You know, it's funny you mentioned Stuttering John because I was in a show called Tony and Tina's Wedding back in the 90s. John played Barry, the drug dealing groomsman, in the show with me. And I, you know, John and I go back a long way. I was at his wedding. You know, he's a good guy, good friend of mine. I haven't seen him in a while, to be honest with you. Nice. But he's a really good guy.
Nice, dude. I think I'm not going to ask you to jump that for that interview, but definitely hook that shit up for me, man. I'm just getting off the ground. I got thousands of listeners. I got a lot of people in entertainment listening. And I'll tell you, man, like when I look at your reel, like I went to YouTube the other night. I'm just like, let me see what Straka's reel is up to. Dude, your reel is spot on, dude. That shit's nice.
Well, let's go back. Let's go. You see, the beauty of a podcast.
Yes.
Is that everything you say, you can't erase unless you edit your podcast. Let's go back to you have thousands of listeners. I guarantee you have tens of listeners.
Mike, you're absolutely wrong, dude. This shit fucking goes off like a wildfire. Like as soon as people know I got struck on, dude, you're my second celebrity guest in 2 days. I'm fucking on fire, dude.
There's gonna be 20. You're gonna have 23 listeners tomorrow on this podcast.
Let's say you're right,
Straka.
Let's say you're right. And that shit's hurtful.
There's an extra 11 people that I had on my last podcast.
Listen, man, that's hurtful as shit. But let's say you sell 5 books out of this, dude. Just thank me. Just be like, dude, I sold 5 books because of you. Thank you.
You know my royalties are in 5 books.
What's that?
25 cents. Fuck. 25 cents.
Well, I'll get the numbers up for you, man. You know how that's what I'm here for.
Oh, whatever, dude. Listen, I am not here to sell fucking Ronda Rousey books. She does it all by herself.
That's true.
You know, I wrote that book. I got a work for hire contract on that. I love the book. I thought it was a good book, if I do say so myself.
Yes.
But you know, it was easy for me to write because I know Ronda's story pretty well.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, what do you think? I mean, with the girls division, I think they're just going to be a new. Every time somebody fights, the person who wants it more, like the underdog, always takes it. And that with the girls, it seems like. And Tate's just a fucking animal. I mean, she is an animal. I mean, aside from being gorgeous. Dude, what a fucking animal. So scrappy, man. She does not give up, dude. I watched that show. I was amazed.
I love Misha Tate. Misha Tate is somebody I have the utmost respect for, and even more respect for the fact that, you know, Brian Caraway is her boyfriend. And, you know, after the show, she like told Joe Rogan, you know, Brian Caraway was the guy in my corner. Brian Caraway is the guy who put my game plan together. And I just thought that for somebody in her biggest moment of her career, the biggest moment of her career, won the belt that she's been fighting for the last 10 years, and she gives her boyfriend props. Not many people do that.
I know. And that's somebody who's like focused and knows exactly like immediate payback for the dedication to get her ready for that fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, what the fuck is going on in the background over there?
I got women here, man. You know, that's how I roll.
You always do. You always do, you fucking stud. Anyway, dude, do you miss New Jersey? Where are you living now? I don't even know where you're at.
I'm living somewhere in the heart of Texas.
Okay.
Where the stars at night are big and bright.
There's nothing but stairs and queers out there. Now, listen.
Yeah, I don't see no horns.
That's right. What part of Texas, if you don't mind me asking? Because isn't that place underwater right now?
Oh, sure. I'm in Katy, Texas, right outside of Houston.
Nice, dude. So
I'm training Sage Northcutt for his next fight.
Well, the thing is, too, like, you know, I can tell you, like, we always kicked around, like, you being an actor, and I just think you should get picked up because you would be fucking perfect, dude. Not only because you're from Jersey and you're a handsome motherfucker, but you're funny as shit, dude. And
The only person in the acting world to try to pick me up was David Geffen and Tom Cruise. I don't know which one you're talking about.
When I say pick you up, I mean give you a fucking movie deal. Like, you know, like they give Ben Stiller a 35-picture deal. I don't give a fuck if 3 of those movies are funny. You're still working, and you're in Hollywood, womanizing, and doing what you do.
Well, you know, I could be the next Adam Sandler, have 3 good movies, and the rest suck. big moose cock.
That's true, man. I think his last good movie was like 21 Dates or 21 Days or 51 Dates. I don't know what the fuck it was called. With the bitch from E.T. That was a pretty funny movie.
Anytime Drew Barrymore's in a movie, it's going to be good.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her face.
I love everything about her.
Dude, who's your favorite?
I would suck her too, actually.
How about this? The Mike Straka ultimate celebrity hookup. Who is it?
Oh, my God. Your list goes on and on.
I know. Just the top, dude. The ultimate. Just the fucking slamming.
I can't even manage too many of them. I fucking Selena Gomez, and she's probably too young for me, even though she's 21. Let's talk about maybe Jessica Biel, but she's too tall for me. Jessica Alba. Now, that's somebody I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
I can't even believe her going here. I know. Oh, Charlize Theron.
All right. She's
forget about it.
I know. It's pretty wild. Dude, I got
hot girlfriends, dude. I don't need it. I don't need it anymore. Yeah, Jamie Gertz, talking old school. How about Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Holy shit, I'm drawing a blank on her name.
Oh, the one
with Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates.
Doesn't anybody fucking knock anymore?
What's it?
Doesn't anybody fucking knock anymore? Greatest scene ever.
Every time I hear Moving in Stereo by the Cars, I can't figure. I just think of Judge fucking Reinhold jerking off the PBK.
Dude, I gotta tell you, I bought that CD again for like the 80th time. I was at some stupid place called BAM, and just like, you know, they got, you know, the place that sells CDs for way fucking like three times the price of what they should be. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm picking up this car CD again, and it's been in my truck and has not left. I fucking absolutely love the Cars, dude. They're like my favorite band. I think I had my first kiss ever with a girl. Her name was Wendy Veltri. Never forget listening to that. It was Candio and Drive on an 8-track. That's how old school I am, Mike.
I don't want to know how you get your fat ass up in the truck.
Dude, that's hurtful. Again, listen, I'm 200. I'm 212, bro. I'm 212, dude. I'm fucking mighty.
Yeah, you're 5'6 and 212.
No, I'm 5'8 and 212, and I'm fucking.
Oh, sorry.
I'm steel wrapped in baloney. Dude, I don't got a six pack. I got a fucking beer ball. It's all good, though. Remember beer balls?
Of course I do. No, you got one of those fucking, Heineken little kegs up there.
I know. I'm working on it, though, man. Like, I'm up here in PA, and I'm eating like a motherfucker, dude. I'm getting big. Now, I'm doing better. I'm actually running again. Dude, you know, in the winter, you just say, fuck it. Come on, man. We all do. But when the spring comes and, you know, I'm doing my thing, I get back.
You look good. It's a struggle, dude.
It's a struggle at 47, you know? I can't be a young man like you.
Yeah. Listen, you got me by, what, 6 months, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, you're a fucking wrestling champ of New Jersey, too. What's up? Still holding that title.
I'm like 209. I'm like Nate Diaz. Yo, what's up? What's up?
Let me ask
209, you. 209. What's up?
Yo, let me ask you, shoot. Now, what's going on, man? Like,
you're going to make the weight? You're going to make the weight shoot?
Exactly. That's a great movie.
You know what? If I tweet to Matthew Modine right now, actually, I'll tweet your podcast to Matthew Modine. I guarantee you he retweets it or he likes it. Because Matthew Modine is a stand-up dude. And every time I see him, I call him Loudon Swain.
Dude, he's the greatest, man. I remember you had something on your page, and it was about that, and a lot of people weren't getting it, but I was right there, man. That movie had it all. Had Madonna.
Linda Fiorentino.
Oh, my God, dude.
Holy
she was
–
dude,
she
that
was
chick
– so hot, dude.
She makes my fucking tissues crunchy. That she's
Oh, I definitely – she made, like, my dish towel crunchy. I had a dish towel that I never wash, maybe once a year. It would fucking stand up all by itself.
Oh, that thing's nice, man. And a lot of fucking boo glue leaked out for that one. No, man. She was definitely in the fucking Spank Bank for like at least 6 months. That was a summer movie. And by the winter, dude, I had fucking scars on my hands.
Dude, you know what my ultimate show is?
What's that?
If I could host my dream show, like everybody's like, oh, you hosted all these MMA shows. You're so good at it, whatever. Dude, my ultimate dream show is a show called The Spank Bank. And I get three dudes and we talk about every chick that we ever spanked to. And then we have those girls on as guests in the last segment and say, how do you feel knowing that I jerked off to you 122 times?
Oh, dude, that's a great idea. That's the
Spank Bank with Mike Straka and Joe Harris. That's got to be a fucking hit right there.
I think it is, dude. And, you know, they had that stupid man show. That wasn't enough, dude. We got to definitely get the Spank Bank. And then, like,
it wasn't enough. Dude, that was Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla. And Jimmy Kimmel hosts a fucking hit late night show, and Adam Carolla is like a big star. And who the fuck are we saying? Oh, it wasn't enough.
I'm saying it wasn't enough. They don't know about Strzok and Howard.
We're two tools living in Sayreville, New Jersey, in the same house, 30 years apart.
That's true. I'll shut the fuck up then.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do. Anyway, listen, hey, real quick, man, how the girls doing?
My daughters are great.
Nice, dude. Loving you?
Yeah, they're doing great. They're loving life.
That's awesome, dude. Hey, when's the last time you've been out to Cali?
I was in California just last week, actually. I was visiting your mom in Long Beach.
Dude, she's back in South Amboy. Damn it. I'm actually thinking about getting a house, dude. What's up?
Yeah, you could buy my old house. You could probably get it at a short sale.
Oh, seriously, man. That place is beautiful. You did a great job on that place, by the way.
Thank you very much.
There's a million things I want to talk about. One is, like, I trip out because, you know what, like, it's being an East Coast guy.
Listen, I'm a professional journalist. Do you do any preparation for the show, or do you just call people out of the blue 5 minutes before, hey, Strzok, you want to be my podcast? Woo, well,
listen, here's the deal. It's my own – dude, you and my friend Britt, you guys are fucking – you're just killing me with that shit. Here's what I think, because, you know, it's about chemistry, one. Two, I've heard some podcasts that are so well-scripted, I'm fucking not interested in that. I want to hear – just funny shit. I don't want to hear about this and don't talk about that and blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit. Like yesterday, I had Brent Muscat on from Faster Pussycat, and he got comfortable and started talking about all kinds of shit. It's very interesting, man. And it just flows better. I don't need to be asking like, hey, well, so anyway, Mike, what do you think about – fuck all that. Hey, dude, you're voting for Trump, right?
Dude, if he gets a nomination, I'm not going to vote for somebody who's not nominated.
I know, but he's got to get a nomination. Who's going to fucking get the nomination? I think the guy from Ohio, I think that's the guy. He's just not going to get it, but that's the guy.
I wish John Kasich would be such a great – you know, I said that about 10 years ago. He should have run instead of John McCain. That was John Kasich's moment. Whatever, it is what it is.
But, I mean, he's the guy, but people don't know him, and he's – like Trump, it's – you know what it is about Trump, and everybody fucking hates me on Facebook. Fuck it. I don't care. That guy's got such an ego, he's going to make some shit happen. He has to.
Well, listen, if he won't beat Bernie Sanders, I can tell you that right now.
I don't know.
So he's hoping Hillary gets the nomination.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
Bernie Sanders has a crazy movement. I don't really understand it.
But it's like all kids. They want to do shit for free. He's going to give everything for free.
Every 20-year-old kid is like Bernie Sanders. Like, you know what I think it is? I think it was the Larry Sanders impression of him on SNL. That's what makes Bernie Sanders so popular with the kids.
Feel the fucking burn. I mean, hey, it's a good campaign fucking thing now. It is. You hear it all over the place. But he's losing everywhere. So, like you say, he's not going to beat Hillary. We don't even call her Hillary. It's Killary. That bitch, Clinton's got a hit squad. I don't want to talk politics anymore. We're done. I just wanted to make sure if he gets the nomination that you're going to back Trump. Because this fucking wall is going to be beautiful. It's going to be big, and we're not paying for it.
Listen, Donald Trump might actually surprise a lot of people in how good he is as a president. We'll see. You know, this country was founded on people like Donald Trump.
Yeah, and dude, I got to bring this up because this is like weird Strzok moments, because we always said we're going to work together and do something. It's going to be big. We're cultivating it. But dude, like, I'm hitting you up, and next thing you know, you're interviewing one of my favorite bands. You're in the fucking room interviewing Motley Crue. I'm like, how come I don't get that phone call? The fuck? I want to be in the room.
Not only did I interview Motley Crue, but I also just had a private concert with 6 a.m., which is Nikki Sixx's new band. And, dude, it was awesome, dude.
Where?
Nikki Sixx. Your mom's house. I told you that already.
Dude, if she's not going to invite me to shit like that, we're just going to – it's going to ruin our relationship. No, seriously, like, I saw 6 a.m. They played Crue Fest years and years ago. They were okay. But I mean, just to be like, I'm like, yeah, Mike, I'm interviewing Motley Crue. It's their last tour. They're kicking off the last tour. They're talking about the details of the last tour. Who's fucking doing the interview? It's you. I'm like, I can't get a hold of this guy to say anything. Where was that? Was that in New York?
No, that was L.A. Okay. That was at the Chateau Marmont Hotel. It was the Hollywood Roosevelt.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I like that. I've been there a million times. But yeah, I love Hollywood. You get to see Hollywood a little different. I mean, like, I lived out there for 25 years. I've seen it all, done it all. And when you come into town, like, you cut off, like, in 25 years, you've done what I've done in 25 years in, like, three visits. It kind of fucking pisses me off. But, I mean, you know, when you're rolling and you're like on top of shit for a long time. And dude, you were blowing up. You were everywhere. And you know, like I think personally, out of all the good things I think you're an amazing interviewer. Like I said, because you are fucking in people's faces and you get shit out of them that I think a lot of people, they don't have the skills to, because you're likable and they get comfortable. And next thing you know, the conversation is going into private land, but we're all still listening going, how the fuck is Straka getting them to say this? It's great, man. I totally enjoy that. I hope you never stop doing that.
Fucking classic. Next thing you know, just Galba's toes are on mouth in the middle of an interview. How does that happen?
Exactly, dude. That's what I'm saying. But like I said, like you can make fun of me. You think I got 15 listeners. My friend Mike Langan says the same thing. He's like, dude, fuck you. You don't got, but I got, seriously, this show is going, it's everywhere. People are catching on. Actually, and I'm not even trying to bullshit. And like, I'm getting.
Joe, you know what the start of every bullshit sentence is?
Yeah, I do. All right, let me start
it
again.
I'm not even trying to bullshit.
Okay, I'm going to try to tell you something that's going on that sounds like bullshit, but it's not. How's that?
Oh, God. David Geffen is going to pick up your podcast and make you a star. Oh, wait, is it going to be Barry Diller? Rupert Murdoch, let's hear it.
Okay, I've been contacted from some people at Sirius, and they just told me, listen, we like you, we think you're funny, and you're unscripted and you're doing stuff your own way. It's kind of refreshing because it's not so thought out and we like it. So just keep putting podcast shows together and just keep going. Just kind of hone it in, do it, get your listeners up. We're listening. Just do your thing and have fun. And those guys are great.
Well, I'm glad you got my phone call when I said I was from Sirius, you stupid fuck.
I'm just joking around. Yo, check it out, though. I mean, why aren't you doing that? You should be doing that shit all day.
Dude, I had my own Sirius radio show, dude. Cavell Radio with Mike Shark. I fucking created that show and founded that show. Man. Whatever, dude. I've been there, done it. Keep asking me questions that I haven't done it yet.
All right. No, I mean, I'm all out of it because you're like me, man. You're stepping shit. You're doing it at a higher level, which is cool. But I mean, you've earned it, dude. You've done a lot of stuff, dude. You like I always say, like everybody's like, Ryan Seacrest is the greatest interviewer of all time. I'm like, dude, that dude is so light sauce. Like, yeah, he's the hardest working man in show business, and he's cool.
Yes, he is.
But he's a cool guy. But it's like, he ain't Straka, dude. It's not somebody I would want to hang out with after hours. After a gig, you're hanging out with these guys. They all love you. When you go to LA, I'm pretty sure you can crash on couches and just kick it with friends in the industry instead of getting hotels and being stuffy. And you've always kind of rolled like that. But like, what brings you to Texas? Is it the show you're doing right now?
Dude, I don't live in. I live in New York City, you moron. I don't fucking know,
dude. I bought Texas, dude. You even said Kate, Texas. I'm like, is there even a Kate, Texas? I'm like looking online, like this motherfucker.
You're googling Katie, Texas?
Yeah, I'm like, son of a bitch, it ain't here.
I live in Manhattan, dude.
What are you doing?
Relax.
In Manhattan, dude. I want to do that for 1 year, just 1 year to live in Manhattan. I was in Manhattan a couple weeks ago with my motorcycle, just driving around. I fucking love the city, dude. I gotta come in.
You should have stopped at Rick's Cabaret. I was there.
Nice, dude. I know. I see you. So what are you doing? Are you doing another book? Like, what's the projects? What are the projects looking like right now?
I've got a lot of things in the pipeline. I'm doing just fine, Joe Howard.
All right, cool. You can't tell me shit, can you? No breaking news on my show?
No. I might break your face on your show.
Dude, that's fucking violent, and we don't like that stuff. This is a fucking family show.
You know my favorite line? You ever see the movie Valley Girl?
No.
Or Nick Cage. Nick Cage is he's pissed off because his girlfriend is dating Johnny from the Karate Kid movie.
Yeah.
Get him a bloody bed, you know, Johnny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have a problem with that, Mr. Lawrence? That guy.
Oh, yeah.
So Nick Cage is stalking his ex-girlfriend. I mean, he gets in disguise everywhere he goes. So the girlfriend and Johnny are going to see a movie. And Nick Cage is the ticket taker, and he's got 3D glasses on. And Johnny goes to him, hey, is this movie in 3D? And Nick Cage goes, no, but your face is.
That's awesome, man. That's good stuff, dude.
It's the best line ever. You got to play that.
That's actually funny.
Don't tell – when you edit this podcast, don't tell the story. Don't let me tell the story. Let me begin it and then put the actual clip on. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. I'm sure if you know how to edit. You better know how to edit if you're doing your own podcast.
You know, check it out, dude. That's another thing. Like, I have a friend helping me with that. But, I mean, it's not that.
Oh, God.
No, dude, you want to know why? Dude, I have this thing. I have, a mobile podcast thing that I just record. It's just, like, a little recorder goes right to MP3. I put it right up on my show. I do it through Skype. I do it so basic, but it's fun, man. It's effective. Like I can move. Some people get so serious and they, you know, oh my God, I got a podcast later. I do it on the fly. Like when I'm having energy and I'm having a high from my fucking bipolarness, I gotta capture the moment. And I'm sitting there listening to my other podcast. I'm like, dude, I gotta fucking hit up Straka. And it just so happens I got you in the cut. Like when you're not doing something for a change. So this is actually good, man. And tell me where you are in the city, man. I'm going to come out and see you because every friend in the city tells me, dude, come out and stay. And then I get to the city. And next thing you know, I'm getting a fucking hotel room.
I live in hotels, dude. I live with fucking hookers.
Nice. And you just let me in on the shit now.
Hookers, and I'm a kept man. I got like a 65-year-old widow who's like, you know, a billionaire. Nice. You know, that's how I roll these days, man.
God damn, you're smart. Hey, man, if you're going to do the city, there's no other way to do it. That's it. If you want to eat,
way to
shit,
do it, man.
You want your shit dry cleaned? You want to eat? That's the way you do it.
That's right. I want dry clean.
Dude, you have a doorman?
Sushi comes over.
You have a doorman?
I got seven doormen.
How many times a week do you eat sushi?
Just once. You know, look, Robert Downey Jr., you know, had to quit Broadway because he got mercury poisoning from eating too much sushi. I'm not gonna put myself through that.
It's true.
I mean, I could.
Good thinking.
I could eat a lot of sushi, but you know, I learned from other people's mistakes.
Well, how come you're not in Fantastic Four? What's taking so long?
Oh, because Jessica Alba plays the Invisible Girl. There's no reason why if you don't cast the hottest chick in Hollywood and make her the Invisible Woman, that's the dumbest piece of casting I've ever seen in my life.
It really is, dude. It's
so I refuse to do that. I refuse to do Fantastic Four. When they offered me the role, I was like, no.
What are
I'm
they
not
doing?
Gonna lead a movie. You got to be in a movie where Jessica Alba plays an Invisible Woman. I'm not going to do it.
That's true. What are you doing? I mean, has Marvel, has anybody contacted you? Have you done any Comic Cons?
Actually, I just wrote the foreword to a new comic book called Cage Hero. It's about these mixed martial arts fighters who have to save the world, and it's gonna be out very soon, and you'll hear more about it. But you can actually follow Cage Hero on Twitter, and you'll find out what I'm talking about.
All right, cool. Hey, another thing too, when you were early on, when you were talking about fighting, and you were talking about MMA, and I mean, the conversation we had, it is right on course to exactly where people are just really starting to evolve and just hit its stride. Right when you said. I mean, literally like 5 years ago. But I'm just saying, like, everything you said about that sport and about how you guys are branding it and how it's coming up, you bet you were right on point with that, man. I got to give it to you.
Well, it is what I do for a living. I should hope that I'm right on point with it. If I'm not, then I should try to find a new job. Maybe I should go wash dishes at O'Neill's or someplace in Little Italy.
All right. Hey, that wouldn't be so bad, dude. Come on. Let's be real. A little Mulberry Street action.
I see you, Mulberry Street.
I see you over there. I see you like at a table. I think I saw a picture of you at a table and you were writing your book. And
that's right.
In Little
You're
Italy.
Absolutely right.
And I'm like, dude, this motherfucker, I know you didn't leave that street. I mean, it's such a great place, man. It really is, man. It's one of my favorite places in the city. I like the West Village. I mean, John's Pizza, places like that. But when you go to Mulberry Street, it's like a whole nother world, man.
Joe, let's be honest. You like the West Village for other reasons than John's
Pizza. Dude, you live on Christopher Street. That's all I got to say.
Oh, see, you know where Christopher Street is. That's all I got to say.
I know, dude. I know the city pretty well. And I have a lot of gay friends, too. And I'm sure you do, too.
You ever go to West? Hey, do you like Gladiator movies?
No, I don't.
You ever see a grown man naked?
I do like Airplane 1, though. It's very funny. Dude, are you typing shit right now while we're talking?
No, I'm jerking off.
Did you hit up Loudon Swain?
No, you don't hear that?
Jesus.
I'm on YouPorn right now. As I'm doing your podcast, I'm on YouPorn.com watching lesbians suck each other's feet.
Nice, dude. Nice. I hope your 65-year-old doesn't walk in on that.
She pays for the internet connection, and I actually demanded my own DS3 line for all my porn. She was like, no problem, honey, whatever you need.
So give me like a – all right, so tomorrow's Tuesday. Give me a Mike Straka day.
Dude, this is going to be the last fucking podcast I ever do in my life. The Joe Howard Show will sink my career.
No, dude, it's fine. No, it's just – hey, look, I look at it like this. You want to call the pod show, go ahead. I'm just talking. It's just two guys hanging out talking. It's all good. It's definitely not going to ruin anything. If anything, it's going to make people love you more.
Well, no, but we need the 23 people who listen to your podcast.
2,300, buddy. And that's on a, yeah, and that's sure. on an off day. No, seriously, I honestly, I have a huge audience. My numbers are big. So, and I mean, like anything, man. Dude, why are you going to hurt me like this? No, I mean, like anything, it starts off slow and then people
Joe,
get it.
Joe, I work in media. You can't tell me you have thousands of listeners on your podcast that you've done for 5 days, okay?
No, not 5 days. I'm not a fucking moron. No, I've been doing it since January, and I happen to be an advertising fucking giant.
So 3.5 months. Oh, an advertising giant?
Yeah.
Really? Who's the CEO of WPK?
I don't know.
Okay, you're an advertising giant.
Well, I was. I'm out of the game. I'm painting houses now. Give me a break.
All right.
I'm up in the Poconos. Dude, when are you coming to visit?
You better not edit this whole thing. If I listen to this thing, I'll be the 24th listener for your fucking podcast.
Sucks, dude.
If you edit anything out of this, I'm gonna come down.
I'm not editing shit.
Wait, I'm gonna come up to the Poconos or wherever the fuck, Camelback, wherever the hell you live and ski. You're probably a ski instructor these days.
Nah, dude, I haven't.
You teach 14-year-old girls how to ski down the fucking. A bunny hill.
Mike, if we had snow, that could be a possibility, but this has been the warmest winter, man.
I know, right?
I didn't even ski at all. Like, I live in Lake Ariel, and dude, I've been riding my motorcycle all year. I usually do. It's stupid. Like,
I know,
January,
it's ridiculous,
February,
right?
But I've been riding my motorcycle all year, dude. I mean, we're into a season. I do home improvements and painting and stuff, and I'm doing outside work already, and it's fucking...
Right, you're doing decks up over above-ground pools.
Whatever it takes, Mike. But you know what? At night, I'm podcasting my ass off. Look at me. I tracked you down, didn't I?
Hey, I love it. I actually admire it. You know what? I would never do this if I didn't love you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Dude, I mean, I know you've had your own show on Sirius. Like, how did you like it? Like, how – I mean, let's talk about that. What was your best guest?
It was my favorite. You know what? I hosted my own show on HDNet called Fighting Words. I hosted a show on Spike TV called MMA Uncensored Live. I hosted a show on Fox called Fox Fight Game. I've been to Oscars. I've been to the Grammys. I've been to the Golden Globes. I've done it all. I've been live on the red carpet. The best time I've had was hosting Tap Out Radio with Punk Ass and Scrape on Sirius XM because it was like this. I could say whatever the fuck I wanted. I could bust anybody's balls. And then I could, you know, have serious interviews with great fighters. I just thought that was the most fun I've ever had in my broadcast career. Too bad it only lasted 2 years, but hey, it was a good 2 years.
Yeah, but you get paid for being who you are. Like, I'm sure you didn't change a fucking thing. I'm sure you rolled in sweatpants and a giant shirt, and that's it. Don't even fucking tell me you're a Jets fan, because we're going to have serious issues.
First of all, I am a Jets fan, because Wayne Corbett was my boy. Secondly, I haven't worn sweatpants since I was 16 years old, so I don't even know why you think that I'd be wearing sweatpants and a giant shirt. For anybody over the age of 16 should not be wearing a fucking jersey of anybody, of any team. It makes me sick when I see grown men wearing a fucking Giants jersey at a fucking Giants game. Oh, you got to wear your fucking jersey to prove that you're a Giants fan, you fucking tool?
In Giants Stadium. It's hilarious, dude. Actually, you know what, man? I went to a couple games this year. You've been at a coach's club, obviously. How cool is that, man?
I haven't been to a Giants game my whole life, dude.
No, I'm saying like at the Jets. Like, they have a coach's club at the Jets.
Actually, that's not true. I was at the Super Bowl when the Giants beat the Patriots.
Dude, how nice.
And I interviewed Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan is a guy I respect. And that motherfucker's cool as shit. No, dude, I was at the Super Bowl with Prince saying Purple Rain in the Rain and Billy Joel saying God Bless America before the goddamn game. That's how cool I am, dude. That's how I roll, motherfucker.
That's insane. Well, let me tell you a little something about that. So my boss out in Hollywood, he is very good friends with the Vereen family. So I got to meet him a bunch of times and be around him. So Shane went to the Giants, but before that he was a Patriot. He won that Super Bowl. And he was a huge reason why they won that Super Bowl, actually. 11 receptions, a bunch of yards, and he was a clutch guy in third and whatever, because Brady was getting beat up that game. And, of course, it came down to a luck play. But, I mean, just to see some of the stuff that developed in that game, it was just amazing. I mean, the fact that they don't run fucking beast mode. I mean, I know it's like everybody could say that they were trying to kill time and it wasn't time and no one expected a turnover, but still, a way to lose that game. That was just horrifying, man.
Look, my life is so random. I was actually, when I was hosting my Spike TV show, Spike TV sent me down to Orlando, Florida to do a promo on TNA Wrestling. And the same the same night I was there, Brandon Jacobs was there actually challenging some, I don't know who he challenged, one of the wrestlers, I forgot who it was. But I'm on the way home, I sat next to Brandon Jacobs in first class on the flight, and I'm just like, kid, this is after they won the Super Bowl. I'm just like, get out of town, man. How cool is this?
That's amazing, dude. I mean, you're like one of those guys.
My
like...
life is random. Dude, my life is so random. I once interviewed Lauren Bush, I'm sorry, the President George W. Bush's daughter, at a place called Cipriani on 42nd Street at the Snowball Gala, which is this huge charity event where people spend fucking hundreds of thousands of dollars on a table. I'm in a tuxedo. I'm interviewing all of these rich people. And then I walk on 42nd Street, walk straight across to Port Authority, get on New Jersey Transit bus back to Sayreville, New Jersey. And I'm thinking to myself, how fucking random is my life? One minute, I'm with the richest people in the world, and Secret Service is protecting half of them. And then another minute, I'm on a bus going home to Sayreville. Like, what is wrong with my life?
It's great, though, man.
And you wonder why I'm such a fucked up dude.
No, you know what's crazy?
Talk about so many juxtapositions. It's like, I mean, I can't make this shit up, dude.
I know. I mean, I think the book, I think you should start writing the book, because there's, like, already, for every show you've been on, there could be a chapter, or even just living, like, for Ocean City days, and just all that stuff, and how you came up into the entertainment. Like, I don't even know how you came up into entertainment. I mean, I'm sure you probably went to college and majored in fucking communication. And what the fuck are you doing right now? Are you lifting weights right now?
No. I told you, I'm on Pornhub. Watching lesbians suck each other's toes.
Can you just get off of that for just like 10 more minutes? I know you go to bed at 11. You got a half hour, Mike.
No, but Joe, I mean, your voice, you know, in addition to the watching the porn on mute, it's turning me on. I can't explain it.
Shit's working for you, though. All right. I'm a good friend. Continue.
That's a dog barking across the hall. Right. I'm not lifting weights. It's a dog barking.
Nice. Hey, let me ask you a question. Did you and Rogan ever go get in the ring?
No.
I mean, have you ever asked him, can you please kick my ass, Mr. Rogan?
First of all, I think I could beat Joe Rogan.
I know, dude. I've been telling you that the whole fucking time I've known you. Thanks for saying that. Jesus.
No, listen, Joe Rogan's a good jiu-jitsu fighter, though. If he gets me on a mat, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I think stand-up, I could take him. I mean, I train a lot of Muay Thai, and, you know, I've done Taekwondo, and so is he. He was a Taekwondo champion as well as I was. I was a good wrestler. Yeah. But if he gets me on the mat, I think I'm in trouble, because he's a black belt under Jock Machado. Yeah. You don't get a black belt under Machado. It's like Kenzo Gracie doesn't give out black belts. Neither does Machado.
Well, why doesn't he get in? What's taking him so long? Is it his age?
He's 47 years old, dude. What do you can't just jump into MMA, dude.
I know. Well, people
especially
have,
nowadays.
You say that, dude, but you know what?
Sage Northcutt is 19 years old. These kids are so young and good.
And they
start training at age 11 these days. Yeah. You know, by the time they're 15, they know jiu-jitsu, they know wrestling, they know Western boxing, they know Muay Thai, they know kickboxing. Guys like me, and you know, I have 2 minutes in me. 2 minutes, Joe.
Yeah.
If I don't win the fight in 2 minutes, I am a dead man.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's all in. You say that about there being an age cutoff, but you know what? I see people my age, I'm 47, I see them jumping in doing fucking CrossFit, and just, I mean, that's heart attack shit right there to me. I don't know how they do that. Like, if you're going to train CrossFit and go on to these events, that's some grueling-ass shit. I've seen some dudes. I have a friend named Dave Strauss. Always been a strong dude, always been stocky. But this dude is a fucking brick shithouse now. His fucking neck is tripled. He just looks like a fucking absolute animal. And he's been doing this. He's in for a couple years now. But, dude, if they're not dropping dead at fucking CrossFit, what's the difference of getting in the ring and getting fucking crazy for fucking 6 minutes?
Because getting punched in the liver, getting punched in the face, getting punched in the abdomen, getting punched in your solar plexus takes a lot more out of you than any CrossFit fucking competition. Trust me on that.
Okay. I believe you. I've seen you training, man. I've seen you getting beat up. Like, on when you were training hard for that 1 year, I don't know what the fuck was up. Well, I do know what the fuck was up. But you had a lot of aggression going, and I think you channeled it in the right direction, dude. Because you went from, like, I don't want to say, you've never been out of shape. You've always been a wrestler and an athlete. But you know, you get a little soft there for a minute. You get comfortable. You're doing a family thing. But dude, you snap back like a fucking animal. I mean, you honestly, like, you probably had to throw out all your suits and start over because it was getting ridiculous.
Dude, I had to. Joey, you're so funny, dude. I had to throw out my suits mostly because they were all pleated.
I'm dating
a very young woman, and she's like, one day I was wearing a Canali suit, which is like a $3,000 suit. She's like, Mike, take that off. You look ridiculous. I'm just fucking. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and like, this suit was like, when I wore this suit in like 2004, it was like the shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, those.
you try that shit in 2015. I was just like. Yeah, Mike, you're right. I look like a clown.
Yo, you had those motherfucking buttercream Joey Canalis? Oh, shit.
Yeah, but I can't wear them anymore. The pleats are out, dude. Nobody wears pleats. You gotta wear flats.
Hey, can you just tell me that you... Please tell me that you're watching Black Jesus. Have you ever watched that show?
No.
Mike, you have to fucking watch Black Jesus. This shit is genius, man. Fucking Charlie Murphy's in it. The dad from Friday's in it. I mean, it's a great cast, but this show is fucking hilarious. You will shit yourself.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it is the best show ever, dude. You're going to call me and go, dude, that's the greatest hookup ever, and you're going to be stuck in a show hole. That's when you have to watch two seasons, like, you know, in fucking 3 hours. You know the deal.
First of all, Joe, when's the last time I actually called you?
I haven't talked to you probably in 2 years.
Yeah, so there's no way in fuck I'm going to call you after I watch Black Jesus, all right?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to check in with
you. Maybe I'll post on your Facebook page, hey, thanks for the recommendation, but I ain't calling your ass.
Not even – damn, dude. I didn't even fucking – I got the same number for fucking 20 years. Just give me a call. You're going to be like, you know what? I was a dick on his podcast. And I told him I wasn't going to call him, but this shit is off the hook. I got to call that motherfucker right now.
Nope. No, and I want that on the podcast. I want it on the record. I'm never going to call your ass ever again.
Well, you usually don't. I mean, if I see you in the news, if I'm flashing, if I'm watching TV, I'm waiting for fucking infomercial Mike Straka. I'm waiting for the moment. No, just kidding around. No, but I'm sitting here going, dude, I was in a meeting when they were doing – I told you this, I think. I was working at a company, and this company, they were branding this new workout. It was for MMA fighters.
Is it Randy Couture?
Yeah, I think so, but I forget the name of the workout. And I was sitting at like this million-dollar meeting with my boss, and they're throwing names around. And they're like, we got to get Mike Straka. I'm like, dude, I know Mike Straka. And they're like, yeah, shut the fuck up down there. So anyway, what do you think about – I'm like, guys, what the fuck? I'm like – I'm like, I couldn't even believe it. My boss looked at me like, dude, why did you just say that? I'm like, dude, I'm showing him your contact in my phone. I'm like, I'm serious. They're like, dude, you can get Mike Straka. You can get Mike Straka on the phone right now. Of course, I call your fucking phone and you don't answer. But at least they hear your voice. I'm like, see? And they're like, but I guess, I don't know. I think they got some girl for that workout. But it was like a UFC type workout. And that's what they were trying to be more
X90. I know what you got. I think you got Brittany Palmer for that workout.
Yeah. But your name came up at that meeting. And just like you with the juxtapositions, I'm like, how is this even fucking happening, dude? Like,
I know, right?
Dude, I've watched River Phoenix die. I watched him take his last breath. I was working at a yogurt shop when Lyle Alzado dropped fucking on the floor and busted his nose in half and went to Cedar Sinai Hospital and found that he had brain cancer when he was making his comeback. He wrote about me in a yogurt shop in fucking Sports Illustrated. How does that fucking happen, dude? I've been around and seen so much shit. It's insane.
I don't want to put – can I put you on a spot right now?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
All right. Where was River Phoenix when he died?
Right in front of the Viper Room, dude.
Thank you very much. What was he doing in the bathroom?
I mean, they stay in speedballs. I wasn't in the club.
You got it.
It was Halloween Eve.
You're telling the truth?
Yeah.
Done.
Christine Applegate was bartending downstairs.
Done deal.
Yes.
All right, who called 911 that night?
It was Joaquin on the phone. I was sitting right there in front of Gil Turner. I was watching him screaming.
Done.
Screaming. Listen,
you're telling,
who jumped
you're
in
telling
the fucking
the truth.
Listen, who jumped you're into the ambulance?
And Joaquin said we were doing quaaludes. I don't know.
He was screaming and going crazy. I was standing next to Christine Applegate.
Done.
Listen to this. The singer of the Counting Crows and the dude holding his hand on the ground was Flea from the Chili Peppers. He jumped in the back of the ambulance.
Jesus Christ.
It was the most surreal moment. Me and my friend Britt, and my friend Jamie walking down the street, and there was a bunch of commotion in front of the Viper Room. We were going to On the Rocks at the Roxy.
What a shame, man.
Yeah, dude, I fucking ran across the street and, like, right up under the canopy, you know, like, basically stage left, but outside those doors where you go out, people go out to smoke now. And anyway, just watching over him. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even know who it was. I just looked down. I was like, oh, my God, this fucking dude's going to die right now. And I
wasted talent.
Yeah, dude. It's just a shame because, yeah, it was just a weird night. Like, I've always been at the, you know, the right place at the right time or the worst place at the right time. And actually, you know, like I'm good friends with Tommy Black, and he was in Scott Whelan's band. And like a couple days before Scott passed on, like, we spent the whole fucking day together. Like, Scott, we had a great day. It was awesome. And I sat at a table when they were sound checking, talking to Scott for an hour and a half. It was amazing. It was like, I got to do that. We talked about our kids. We talked about all kinds of shit, bipolar depression. It went on and on. I did a whole podcast about it. But just to hear that news and just be like, oh, my God. Like, it's stuff like that's happened to me my whole life. I know something's big is going
to
happen.
I could hear you a week from now talking to your next guest and be like, can't believe I just had Mike Strzok on my podcast and he died the next day.
Fucking
he
Strzok.
Died that night. He died that night with his dick in his hand on Pornhub watching lesbians suck each other's toes.
You would never believe this. That motherfucker was jerking off to my voice watching lesbians, and now he's gone forever. No, but it's just weird, man. It's just a crazy world. Like, you're always doing it. You're 100 miles an hour. And I think I get you at these hours at night because this is Mike Straka downtime. I'm like, this guy's probably got a minute to breathe, probably eat something real quick and fucking maybe shit or shave because this dude goes all day. So I'm like, there's no calling you during the day is a waste of time. But anytime after 9, your window is 9 to 11. If you can't get that call in, you're fucked. You know?
Listen, I'll tell you my favorite heartbreaking story in my career.
Go ahead.
I was in Tony and Tina's Wedding, the play. And I worked the overnight shift at CBS News. So I worked from, I would go to work at 1 a.m. and I worked till 9 a.m. I'd sleep till noon, go to acting classes, then go to Tony and Tina's Wedding from 6:30 p.m. until about 10:30. Then I'd go to CBS News and I'd take a nap in Ed Crane's office on his couch. I used to hide the sheet and the pillow underneath his couch in his office. And I would take a nap before I started my shift. And the desk assistant who worked the shift before me, I think it was 5P to 1A shift, he'd come in and wake me up and be like, hey, Mike, it's time to go to work. Yeah. So I took a night off because Warner Brothers was holding an open call to play Robin in Batman and Robin.
Oh,
and I slept on the street. This is like 1993 in Union Square. Slept on the street all night long in the winter, fucking freezing my balls off. It snowed. And I was the first person online. And I walk into the theater, and a casting director named Maui Finn said, how did you get to be first online? And I told her I came from my show last night, Tony and Tina's Wedding, and I came directly here with my sleeping bag, and I slept on the street. And she goes, okay, you didn't even have to audition. You get an automatic callback. So I went to the Parker Meridian Hotel on Tuesday. This was a Friday night. On Tuesday, and I did a scene from Golden Boy, which was a Clifford Odets play, and William Holden was in the film. And I did a scene, and she goes, that was really good. Just put it on tape. Then I get called, and I get sent to L.A., and I audition for Tim Burton. Tim Burton. And I read with Michael Keaton. And then I did stunts with this guy named Dan Barringer. This is a crazy fucking story. Mally Finn says, man, you did so good. Tim Burton's so happy. Here I am thinking, I called my mom and dad. I'm like, I'm going to be Robin in Batman and Robin. I got the role. I know I do. This is just too good to be true. And then about 3 weeks later, I read in page 6 in the New York Post that Tim Burton quit and Joel Schumacher came in to direct it.
Oh, no.
That Michael Keaton quit and now Val Kilmer is playing Batman and they cast Chris O'Donnell as Robin.
Oh, on page 6, dude. That's the worst news of the story.
Yeah, it was the worst, fucking worst, dude. I was like, I'm still heartbroken. It's been 30 years. I'm still heartbroken.
I know. And that would, dude, that would have just launched you into a fucking, like, the galaxy, man. That was like.
Oh, I would have been River Phoenix. I'd be lying on a fucking sidewalk one day. I was so young. It was too easy. If it happened to me today, I'd appreciate it. Back then, I would have been terrible. I would have died. Just got my mind.
Well, everything happens for a reason. Like, you got two beautiful girls, and that's the best thing in the world. And they love their dad, and you're an awesome dad. But the thing is, dude, if you get into like, Even with De Niro, even with Tribeca shit, even if you run into any of those fucking guys, I don't care if it's Pesci. I don't give a shit if it's...
What are you talking about? I was in Analyze This with Robert De Niro.
I know that. I'm saying, but if you get into one of those films now, and just, like, with those, that whole Italian crowd, just something, dude. I mean, De Niro's even spinning off. He's done, like, 10 comedies in a row. If they get Straka in there now, dude, this could be the big game, dude. I'm just saying, like, you're around all those guys.
It's a different Straka now.
I know. Is that good or bad?
If I ever get that shot again, I would crush it.
Yeah. And that's why I want to be your agent, and that's why I called you tonight.
All right, well, be my agent.
I am going to fucking slime it. Dude, I'm going to tell you.
Take your podcast out to your 24 listeners, including me.
Yes.
And see who works at William Morris or who works at Endeavor. Actually, it's William Morris Endeavor. Yes. Who works at CAA. Maybe it's Brian Lord. Maybe it's Ari Emanuel. Maybe it's, David Klein or Chris Klein, all those great big agents. Why don't you figure something out, bitch?
I know. You know what, dude? Last time we had this conversation, and I think you called me a bitch then, too. Kind of hurts. Just kidding. All right.
Well, because your tits are bigger than my girlfriend.
No,
so.
Dude. I don't got baloney tits. All right. I got some questions. I want to hear some Mike Strzok answers. Quick fire. Ready?
All right. Quick fire.
All right. Who's your favorite interview?
Kenzo Gracie.
Nice. I feel like you had to say that, but that's a good answer. What's your favorite restaurant in New York?
Del Frisco's.
Oh, dude. I went to Del Frisco's, and my daughter took me to Del Frisco's in Philly. It was fucking phenomenal. All right, have you ever been to – what's your favorite restaurant in L.A.?
Favorite Boa.
All right, I like that answer. What about Las Vegas?
Oh, cut. Actually, no. Strip House in Mandalay.
Okay, I like that place. All right, what TV show have you been watching?
House of Cards.
What is your is that on Netflix or is that on TV?
Netflix.
Okay. What is the TV show that you like the most on TV, not Netflix?
Don't laugh at me.
I won't.
Jeopardy.
I like Jeopardy, dude. I'll fucking crush you in Jeopardy. For real.
Joe Howard.
Dude, if they don't do authors, I'm good. They do authors,
Joe,
I'm
Joe fucked. Howard. Joe Howard. There's no way you're beating me in Jeopardy. Sorry. Keep going. Next quick fire question.
Okay, we're gonna go. In the United States, what is your favorite beach?
Oh, geez, that's a good one. It's gotta be Hilo in Hawaii.
Okay. All right. What about the United States?
You mean the continent of the United
States?
Yes,
continent.
Because Hawaii is part of the United States.
It is.
I don't mean it. And you're gonna beat me in Jeopardy?
I'm gonna fuck you up in Jeopardy, dude.
Okay, dude.
We'll go on live. I'll call out Trebek. We're going to get this shit happening, even if it's offline.
Right. My favorite beach in the continental United States is Long Beach Island, New Jersey.
All right.
Next.
I like that. Okay, so what's your favorite baseball team?
New York Yankees.
As an athlete, what are you the best at? Most confident?
Taekwondo.
Have you ever had a threesome?
Yes, the twins.
Has it?
And they made out together, which was kind of freaky. God.
I gotta have to stop the interview right there. Let me get a tissue. Okay. No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was my Pornhub. Sorry about that.
All right. Listen. Okay. Listen. Have you ever been to Japan?
Yeah, I've been to Kyoto, and yes. I've been to Tokyo.
All right, me too.
I went to this Super Saitama Arena. To watch Fedor Emelianenko fight Hangman Choi, which was such a joke of a fight, but I was there.
Did you stay at the Senagawa Prince?
What?
Did you stay at the Senagawa Prince restaurant? I mean, hotel in Tokyo.
No, I did not.
Because that's where they send all its Americans. They got a bowling alleys and fucking skating rink, dude. This place is insane. I love Japan. It's an amazing country.
I stayed with Andre the Giant.
Dude. Andre the Giant, there's a guy up here. His name's Papa Vetrano, and he has all the wrestlers come up here once a year in the Poconos. It's called Big Dog Daddy Fest, and he managed all those wrestlers. He knows all those guys. The Samoans, They're good friends of him. They come here to eat. He has to cook for these guys. He tells me stories.
The wild Samoans.
Yes, he's like these guys. He's in the family. This guy goes to Samoa to see them. Like he lives right by me. I'm gonna interview this guy. He's completely. He's so interesting. He's on my page. You'll love
this. He sounds more interesting than my interview. I'm
gonna
tell you that.
No, dude, this is going good. All right. What's the long? Hold on a second. I'm getting off track. What's the last? I don't want to say CD you bought, but what's the last band that you've bought? Whether you bought it, you know, you bought it on iTunes or CD or however.
The Revivalists from New Orleans.
Okay. What is your favorite band of all time?
A band or singer? You got to be specific.
Okay, we'll go band and singer.
The Eagles is my favorite band.
Okay.
Of all time. Nice. Although I do like The Who. And I do like the Stones.
Dude,
but if I had to go on a desert island with one album, it's the Eagles' Greatest Hits.
Okay, that's good. You're dating yourself a little there, but I like it. Keeping it real. Okay.
I'm dating. I like Frank Sinatra too. I mean, I'm old.
I hate Frank Sinatra. All right, check it out. Actually, another thing that's weird. I'm driving home from fucking work from Santa Monica one day. I'm in traffic, freaking the fuck out in Beverly Hills. Why am I in traffic? What am I sitting right in front of? Them taking Frank Sinatra out of the church and into the fucking car to take him to bury him. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Right now, I'm going to sit here. I'm on my motorcycle, too. Stopped while this is going on. I watched it for a half an hour, dude. It was crazy. Insane.
All right, what church was it?
Hold on. What year was it? That was 1990, I want to say 7 or 6.
No, wait. What church was it?
It was in Beverly Hills. It was right off of Santa Monica. I don't know the name of it, dude. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right, whatever. You're such a fucking liar.
I swear to God, dude, on my eyes. And those motherfuckers.
First of all, if you're on your motorcycle, you're not stuck in traffic. You just go right fucking.
No, no. They stopped all of us. They stopped. I was splitting lanes.
Just like you forgot that you were on your motorcycle when you were taking a picture in front of my house.
I did forget I was on the motorcycle.
That's why I flipped out.
I just don't even
know. You opened up the whole show with the wrong story.
That is the best story.
I'm supposed to believe a word you said after that?
Dude, you know how I could tell you could kick so many asses? You came out in that fucking tap-out shirt. Dude, you were bringing the fucking A-game. You came out just jacked.
That was different. That was my home with my daughters in there and some dudes taking a picture of my fucking house in a helmet. You're lucky. You're actually lucky to come out with a fucking Breda Onyx over under and fucking put two in your fucking heart.
Right off the fucking bike? You're not going to let me get my bike on the stand?
Dude, you were standing in my driveway. You were already off your bike. That was even more freaky.
Well, this is a better story. I have these CDs for you. You said you'd like some band. And I'm like, fuck, I had these CDs for you. And I'm about to go drop them off at your house. And I'm driving by. Knock on the door. Fucking dad opens the door. He's like, who are you? I'm like, oh, no, I'm just a friend of Mike's. Tell him happy birthday. And I hand him these CDs. Do you remember this?
No, because my dad never told me. He probably threw them right in the trash. But I thought you were stalking.
No. So then I go to shake his hand. When I tell you, I never fucking got my hand crushed worse than your dad's handshake. The guy's a fucking animal. Unbelievable. He must have been a wrestler, too.
No, he was a UPS man.
Really?
Even worse.
Really?
Even stronger.
Dude.
Yeah.
Really good dude.
Yeah, my dad was a UPS man for 30 years, worked his ass off.
Nice dude.
Never complained a day in his life.
Why would he? He's got an awesome son, a beautiful daughter. What's there to complain about?
I have a brother too, you ass wife.
You never talked about him. He must not be that important.
He's important.
I'm just kidding, man. So
you're not important.
Are you the oldest or are you the middle child? And I know you got to be the middle child.
You got that right.
There's two reasons why I know that, because that's why we get along, and that's why you're the most successful in the family. That's really it. There's nothing else to say. It's just we're running on a different octane. Don't you like the way I threw myself in there, too?
Like, I love that about you.
I'm like, where? And you're like, motherfucker, what did you,
you're
what
like,
have you done?
You're like this. You're like this. Enough about me. What do you think about me?
Dude, you know, I gotta try to get, you know, it's my pod show. I like to get my ego stroked a little. I'm just joking.
Listen,
I have no ego.
Listen, I missed my last podcast.
What happened?
I missed my last podcast show.
How'd you do that?
I've never had one. You have
dude.
One.
Yeah, but you
You got one. You got one up on me, Joe Howard.
Yeah, but you went straight. You said, fuck podcast. That's weak. And you went right to serious. I mean, that's a pretty strong move, dude. Come on. I mean, I'm struggling over here. I'm like, what? I got to give $30 to who for fucking what recording system? Holy shit. I got to give Skype what for a phone number? I'm over here like, wow. I got my friend Greg help me. Not that I'm stupid and can't figure it out. It's just that this part, dude, like being a musician. I don't know if you've heard
Joe,
what's up?
Joe, there are 8-year-olds in her basement right now.
I know, dude. I was getting to that.
Without Greg's help, by the way.
That's true. Point taken. And noted, by the way. Okay, so we're going to still go on questions. Out of all the places you lived, what's your favorite place you lived?
Burton Way in West Beverly Hills.
Nice. I know the area well. your favorite Italian food dish?
Chicken Parmesan. Can't fuck it up.
True. It's true.
You can have chicken Parmesan in the Olive Garden, and it's as good as, like, Patsy's.
Okay.
You
no.
Can't fuck
or
up
or Dantana's. Parmesan. You've been
or Dantana's. Although Dantana's is worse than fucking Olive Garden. Come on. You don't go to Dantana's for the food. You go there to be seen.
That's true, man. Actually, some of their shit's good. Like, their appetizers are better than the food.
So. Yeah, if you like clams oreganato. Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Hey, so what about
come on, keep reading your list of
I have no list. I'm going off the top of my head. What was your favorite vacation?
Oh, come on.
What was your favorite vacation?
Anywhere I go with my little girlfriend, Christy, is my favorite vacation. Next question.
Did you ever bang any of your sister's friends?
Never.
Has any of your mom's friends ever hit on you?
Never.
Have you ever been skinny dipping?
Never, actually.
Have you ever contracted any STDs that you couldn't get rid of?
Never.
Nice, dude. I like that. What nationality are you?
Chilean and Hungarian.
All right. Are you Catholic?
Yes.
Are you a member of ISIS?
No.
Okay.
But ask me if I believe that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and was buried on the third day, rose again to see it fulfillment of the scripture.
Yeah, that.
Yes, I do.
Okay, me too. Good answer. You know, dude, you know what's funny about that? Like, look, man, I'm growing up and I've been Catholic my whole life, okay? But it's like this. I'm meeting a lot of fucking people that are like pagans and agnostics, and they don't believe God. They have all these stories and they're just dicks about it. But you know what? This is what I say. I said, even if you don't believe in God, okay? Let's say you don't, and then you die and you find out there is a God, and he's like, go fuck yourself. Wouldn't you just be like, I don't want to hear about space and Darwin and I'll fuck you. I'm like, why don't you just believe in God and have faith? This way when you die and there he is, you're like, dude, I knew this is going to be a moment. And I want to see like the greatest hits tape of my life. Let's sit down and watch that. You know what I mean? He'll ask you some questions. Dude, why the fuck did you bang that drunk girl? Why wouldn't you just lay off that, man? That was a test and you failed. Like, that's the conversation I'm going to have. I think it's going to be as fun as this. I don't think it's going to be as serious as people think. But I mean, I hate when people come at with their religious beliefs and it starts with, I don't believe in God. I'm like, go fuck yourself. To me, like, keep it to yourself a little bit. Like, I don't want to hear the negativity around it because that's what's missing in our culture right now. And people don't realize that.
Listen, I doubt anybody who is listening to your podcast is actually going to last this long. But I hope that if they were listening, they understood everything I'm saying. It's mostly in jest. Because I've had a lot of fun doing this podcast, and I've said some fucked up shit, and most of it is in jest. And you know, I hope people get my sense of humor. If they last this long to hear this, I hope they get it. And of the 21 people who don't last, of the 24 that are listening, including me, then 3 people will know I was joking, including me.
Okay, perfect. Okay, Mike.
But you have thousands of listeners, though.
You get an ultimate car. What car is that?
Any car that your mom's driving.
Dude, she drives like a Chevy, I think a 2005 Chevy something. I drove it across the country. Oh, another time. Dude, the Hells Angels, me and my son are coming across the country. Fucking Hells Angels come by. My son's filming them, and they fucking blow out my back window. Dude, a whole big thing happened. Cops are involved. They get pulled over by like a fucking SWAT team. Dude, it was out of control. I got like, I can think like 800,000 hits on YouTube. But anyway, I just squashed it, said I'm not going to press charges. You go your way, I'm going mine. That shit only happens to me.
You mean you've only had almost as many listeners as your podcast for that video?
Dude, that's fucked up. Should I link up my podcast with that fucking thing? That would be nice. If I could do that, I'd be fucking set.
Maybe you get your own serious show. Now that's swinging for the fences, right?
I'm really trying, dude. Listen, you get an ultimate
fuck
card.
Serious. Listen, fuck serious, dude. Go get a fucking show on Netflix. That's where the money is. Get a show on Amazon. Really serious is. Radio is as dead as terrestrial radio.
All
right. Spotify and Pandora killed Sirius.
Well, also I'm going to tell you is I think you're right, and I'm going to say as a Stern fan, because I always love Stern, dude. When he went off the radio, I honestly, like, I feel like he took all his equity, which is his fans, and basically said, this is how many listeners I have. This is my stock options. I have all this. This can either come with me or not. He used this as a bargaining chip, and fucking more than half of us didn't even go, and he just fucking rocked it. Now, as a businessman,
hold on.
Okay.
Let's not start sucking each other's cocks just yet.
Okay.
Howard Stern was fired from CBS, okay?
What?
They fired him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Les Moonves was like, you're out. So Howard like, took his ball and went somewhere else to play.
All right.
You know, they were giving him a hard time.
Yeah, well, the FCC and all that shit, Clear Channel, they were all over the place with lawsuits. I kind of get it liability-wise, and Les Moonves is a great guy. I mean,
Moonves is a genius. He's a genius. Don't get me wrong. But Howard became a liability for terrestrial radio. So I could see where you might think he traded his fans in for his stock options. I just think he had no choice.
Yeah.
Either I'm gonna stay on terrestrial and sell out and not be who my fans love already, and then everybody's gonna hate me anyway. So I might as well get the money and let them hate me. Because they're gonna hate me anyway, because the only way I can stay on terrestrial radio is to clean up my act and to be fucking Uncle Tom. He didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Either way, it was a lose-lose for him. You might as well lose and make $100 million.
That's true. I miss him, and I've never paid for the radio. I've never owned a car with Sirius Radio. I've never actually signed up for it. I do have a car.
Sirius can suck my dick. Fuck Sirius Radio. I told you it was my favorite show in the world, which it was.
Yeah.
But they didn't pay me. Tap Out paid me to do that show.
Wow, okay. I mean, I don't think that they make great choices as far as hiring some of the talent that they've had right under their nose and actually giving them what they deserve. I'll agree with that, because I see a lot of people that are super talented that I would love to listen to that should have a serious deal that I would listen to religiously, but they just don't. It's like no one wants to listen to fucking Martha Stewart. Let's just be real. I mean, it's just get some guests that are interesting. Get some new blood. Get Joe Howard in there. People don't know me, dude. I know a lot of people that are really fucking interesting. I could bring a lot to a place like that. You know what I mean? That's my pitch, Mike. You like it?
No, I don't. I think you just do your own thing. Get your own advertising. You said you're the king of advertising. Dude, you can get fucking Napa Auto Parts to sponsor your show and live better than you would with a serious radio show. Just put your head into something smart and do this podcast and get a sponsor. It's so easy, dude. You can get $2,500 a month just doing this show.
I know, but
one sponsor.
The problem is with that, and I know you're right. I feel like
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Stop right there. You want to listen to a fucking media guy?
No, I'm listening to you, man. And I think you're right. Dude. I got questions.
No. No, you just started that sentence with the problem is with that is. No, there is no problem with that.
Okay, how about let me start this question over. Mike, how would I go about doing something like that?
You put your head to the grindstone and you fucking hit the fucking pavement and you walk around and say, look, I have 24 listeners, but these 24 listeners all make $24,000 a year. Collectively, that's $126,000 that my audience can spend, and they will spend it at Napa. I guarantee
they
it.
Need spark plugs.
They need spark plugs and
oil changes.
Lube oil filters.
They need they need fuel fucking sensors. They need windshield
wipers.
They need
spark plugs. They need ankle windshield wipers.
They need replacement light bulbs.
And they need replacement gas caps because they're getting siphoned every other night.
Antifreeze.
They need antifreeze.
Armor off.
They need Prestone.
They need a Kit Kat bar at the counter.
That's right. They need an evergreen fucking mirror visor. Mirror, what do you call this thing? There's refreshers.
Mike.
And you can get it all at Napa.
Mike, for this podcast picture, I need you to send me a picture, text, if you just give me the finger.
I'm jerking off on Pornhub.
No, not that. Not that. Sorry, ladies. No, not that. I need you just – I don't give a fuck. I know you're fucking – I know your hair ain't messed. I just need you just holding the camera back with a selfie and just give me the fucking finger. Text that shit to me because I need it for the show.
Don't forget. All right, done.
All right. So
you're right.
Okay, we got more questions.
Give me something I can stick my teeth in.
Well, no, there's girls listening.
These boilerplate questions of, what's your favorite restaurant in L.A.?
No, but you've been everywhere, so it's kind of cool. What's your favorite car?
Any car that gets me from here to my girlfriend's house.
What was your favorite job, like before you got famous?
Making pizza at Panzone's Pizza in Long Beach Island.
Dude, is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. Frankie's dead, but...
You walk in, they just light up like, dude, he's back.
Not anymore.
You know what I
mean? The way before Frank died. No, it's old school now, dude. I worked there from 1988 to 1992. Nice. Come on, man. That's a long time ago.
It's a pizza place, though, man. You know, the same blood in there. Hey, dude, you know how many fucking great white sharks have been spotted off Long Beach Island this year? A ton, dude. People are terrified of going to water over there. Have you seen that?
I believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, listen, man, I'm going to wrap it up. We can go forever, but we're going to do this again. But I just wanted to just kind of peek in, see what you're up to. And I know, like, every single time I call you in 6 months, it'll be completely different than right now, which is good, dude, because you never get stale. You never stay in one place if you're not happy. I admire that about you. Most guys would take one job and be okay with the money, but you're always challenging yourself. You're always out there fucking doing your best, writing a book, fucking having a meeting. You're dressed up. You're in the fucking city. You're in the number one market. Everybody knows you. And, dude, I'm thinking the acting thing's going to pop, but I really need to see you do what you want to do. And what is your ultimate fucking goal?
I wouldn't mind being a movie star, to be honest with you.
Okay. Dude, I honestly could see that more than anything.
If you actually asked me what's my ultimate goal, I would star in movies.
Okay. I mean, you did plays. You know what's up with the reads. You know what's up with all that stuff. And, you know, you are an actor. You take somebody on the red carpet, it's boring as shit. And then when you get done with an interview, I actually like that person. Like, whoa, they have a good personality. They laughed a little. I thought they were fucking like a stick in the mud. And they're dressed up and they're stuck up. And then Mike just got them to say that whatever about their dress and who gives a fuck what you're wearing. And you're like, who are you wearing? I really don't care, but they're telling me to ask you that question. Like, that shit's funny to me. Like, that's not the everyday thing for those kind of Oscar shows and red carpet events. So I always appreciate that about you, man. Keeping that shit jersey.
Well, thank you for telling everybody on your podcast that I'm an asshole. I appreciate it.
That was the nicest way possible anybody's ever called you an asshole.
Well, for the 24, including me listening, I can live with that.
You know, you've said that like 10 times and it hurts worse every time. I just want to tell you that.
Because the truth hurts. Oh, I got thousands of listeners.
Dude. Mike, I'm telling you right now, like when people listen to this, not only are they going to Google Mike Straka, but they're going to be so fucking excited when that shit pops up. I'm just kidding, man. You're a fucking legend. Hey, dude, I really appreciate you being on the show and taking the time out. And, you know, you went 7 minutes past your bedtime for me. And, you know, man, I got to make that up to you somehow. So when we get to the city, we'll go out. We'll whoop it up.
No. Don't worry. Your mom already made it up.
Damn. Don't worry. See, my mom's going to listen to this. Actually, you know what's weird? Like, listen. No, man, check this out. Like, my mom was living in Long Beach, and then she just moved back to South Amboy. Dude, she lives in South Amboy down by the waterfront park. And my mom's back with all her old friends, Mrs. Lyons, your old neighbor. And, you know, she's back there and she's actually having the best time of her life. And me and my mom, we didn't talk there for a little while, but now me and my mom are like on good terms. It's going great. I'm happy she's back. Things are like kind of going in place. Nice. You know what I mean?
Well, good. That's really good to hear, Joe.
Nice, dude. So I'm just trying to, like, I've noticed, like, a lot of people are like, he's fucking crazy and this and that. But, dude, I just have to tone my shit down. Sand a couple smooth edges. I'm okay. I'm not a sellout, but I just have to do it just for the masses. You know what I mean? I don't want it like my cousins hearing some shit about me and believing it because they heard it 10 times. You know what I mean?
So. Okay. But can I just correct you on something?
Sure.
Because I'm a journalist and I listen, which is something you need to do.
Yes.
If you're going to do a podcast. But you don't sand smooth edges. You sand rough edges.
That's what I meant to say, man. Thanks a lot for correcting me. That's the kind of shit I need, man, and I really appreciate that. That's fucked up.
Hey, listen. Use the second picture that I sent you. I texted you one, give me the finger. Give you the finger. And the second one is what I'm actually doing right now. And that's the one you should use because this is what you disturbed. And I put pause. I hit pause, and I paused the Inglorious Bastards.
Oh, shit. All right. Dude,
I just wasted 45 minutes on your 24-person viewed podcast. And I could have been watching the end of Christoph Waltz getting beat up by Brad Pitt. But no, instead I took the time to talk to you and your fucking $2 podcast.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. And I love you very much, brother. All right, man. Take care, Mike.
I love you too, man. All right. Take care. Thanks a lot, Joe.
No problem.
Joe, I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, man.
I had a great time, man. Later. That's Mike Straka, episode 13. Hope you loved it.